This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:17 a.m. Monday, the 29th of June. And in about half an hour, we're speaking with James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, on Pakatan Harapan Plus's candidate for Prime Minister. Now, we are also running a poll on the subject of who do you back for Prime Minister. So do let us know what you think. That's over on the Twitter account at BFM Radio. Your options are Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, or perhaps someone else. And if you vote for someone else, tell us who. But right now, we're taking a look at the rubber glove industry, which is a significant one to Malaysia and one key export which our country dominates. In fact, 65% of the world's demand is supplied by Malaysian glove makers, which will make as many as 225 billion units this year.
Now, in contrast with other sectors which are experiencing a downturn, COVID-19 has actually boosted the Malaysian rubber glove industry. I think if you look at the stock market every morning, one of them is at least on the top volume over there and top value. The Department of Statistics reported that the exports of Malaysian rubber gloves and standard rubber has been robust since March. And it said that the global demand for rubber gloves is expected to increase 15 to 20% compared to the usual demand growth of between 8-10%.
Yeah, you know, talking about their share price, right? I think their PEs, for example, Hata Lega, over 90 times, Top Glove and Supermax over 60 times. But anyway, despite the healthy demand for rubber gloves, there are still some pressures on the industry, and I think the industry needs also to answer about them. Some stringent labour regulations and the uncertainty of whether high demand is sustainable in the long term and the use and the reliance on foreign labour.
So joining us on the line for some insight into how rubber glove makers are coping as well as what's ahead, we have Dennis Low, President of the Malaysian Rubber Gloves Manufacturers Association, better known as MARGMA. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dennis. Now, there was a spike in demand for rubber gloves during the height of the movement control order in the first quarter. What's the situation now? Has the demand-supply curve for gloves moderated? Do you see any gaps in production at the moment?
Hi, good morning, everyone. Yes, there is a spike of normal demand across the world is a better word to describe the situation these days. Malaysia is supplying medical gloves to 190 countries, and this year the industry is expected to ship out something like about 220, right up to perhaps 250 billion pieces out of a 330 billion pieces requirement this year worldwide. It was only 187 billion pieces in 2019. In fact, in the last 3 months of this year, Malaysia has shipped out about 55 billion pieces of glove to the world. China alone has surged by about 175%, while America had increased by about 17%. We will definitely see phenomenal increases in America, Europe, and in fact, every corner of the world. The COVID-19 knows no boundaries and does not really care about weather too. It is really, really merciless. The demand is continuing to be extremely strong, and most, if not all, the manufacturers are fully booked and oversold till next year. The production is smooth and could have been better if we had more workers. However, we are in a better position now as more and more workers are coming forward to work.
When you say oversold, could you just give us an idea of numbers for next year?
In a normal period, a glove manufacturer must at least be oversold by 30 to 45 to 60 days. But today, we are seeing them being oversold by almost as high a number of days as 180, 240 days. And in fact, such is the phenomenal demand now that every one of us are trying to cope the best we can.
And have you seen any, have your exports been impacted by delays in shipping and logistics? That's one of the things we're seeing as a hurdle because of the pandemic.
In the early days of the MCO and lockdown across the world, there was some issue with the availability of shipping and vessels. But now, there are more ships available, and our local logistics providers are also fully operational. It is manageable under the circumstances.
Now, Dennis, the industry has, on the whole, raised average selling prices between 3-5%. 2-5% due to higher demand, and that's the estimate from May. So what is your prediction of any further ASP increases?
3-5% is actually very little. So if you hear some of the big manufacturers, they are already talking about selling gloves at $100 to $120 per carton of 1,000 pieces. That means the ASP has grown up by almost 40, 50, 60%, you know. So on the matter about prices, it's a supply and demand situation. Today, there's such a huge and chronic shortage across the world that we are seeing prices moving up and soaring higher and higher. Now, this brings us back to the way the gold was sold way back in the 80s during the height of the AIDS or HIV pandemic. Gold prices was known to be sold at $140 per carton during those days in the 80s. Today, we are talking about the 21st century, and definitely prices is going to soar further.
Well, you mentioned about labor shortages just now in your answer. Could you elaborate how bad is the situation?
Now, on the matter about the fees on foreign workers, it is an old problem. And somehow we have been able to cope with it the best we can. Basically, we have transformed the industry from a very labor-intensive industry into a fully automated industry. In the past, we need about 12 people to produce 1 million pieces of glove. But today, we need only 1.7 people to do so. It is the aim of the industry to move forward and to just use about 1.2 people to produce that 1 million pieces within the next 2 to 3 years. Now, having said that, some segment of the production cycle will still require workers. And this is a challenge. And hopefully more Malaysians will come forward to join us. The industry is a good paymaster and is known to take very good care of staff and workers' welfare.
But Dennis, there were also news reports about labour abuses in Malaysian factories. You know, what is your opinion on this? Are you satisfied with any steps that have been taken to address these concerns?
You know, last year, the Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association, together with the Malaysian Rubber Export Promotion Council, we have come out with a code of conduct for all our members. And today, there is a code of conduct for everybody to follow, not forgetting the fact that it is in our interest to be socially compliant, because we are exporting almost 100% of our gloves to the world, and we are always subjected to audits by the multinationals. In fact, every government of the world wants us to be audited as well. So we have complied, and whatever is said by the activists and NGOs, we would want to question them, where did they get this information about mistreatment of workers and all this and that. They cannot be simply saying, accusing and alleging without substanting the allegations. So by and large, I think the glove manufacturers are good paymasters. They take good care of the staff and they take good care of the workers as well. It is a good paymaster, the glove industry.
Well, okay, talking about good paymaster, so are you going to increase salaries to at least attract more locals?
You know, before the government announced the basic salary of 1,200, the glove industry has been paying more than that. So that is no issue to us. Now, looking at the size of the industry and the capacity that is churning out, we would easily require about 180 to 200,000 workers previously. But today, the industry is only employing 72,000 people, out of which 39,000 are foreign workers. It is obvious that the industry is a major investor, and it's known that in a particular year, we would reinvest something like about 650 to 800 million in this expansion program. A good and sizable automated plant capable of producing 2 to 3 billion pieces of glove would cost something like about 150 to 200 million ringgit. Now, there is always R&D in the industry, and today we are very proud to say that almost every strata and aspect of our business are locally engineered and designed and produced.
Do you have any figures for us in terms of how much investment has been made by the industry to this end in terms of the CapEx initiatives? Have there been any incentives by the government to do so?
The government have always helped us in the beginning. In the beginning of the industry, the government gave us pioneer status. But these days, the government is also helping us by telling us the more you invest, there will be a reinvestment allowance. But the industry by itself, as I said just now, we invested close to 800 million per year. And if you look at the figures given by the top four manufacturers in Malaysia, they are talking about spending billions in the next 2 to 3 years. And divided by three, you actually get 800 to 1 billion ringgit of investment back into the industry.
And Dennis, I guess the question now, when we look at the performance of some of the glove makers on the index, is how sustainable is the high demand for rubber gloves? I mean, if a vaccine for COVID-19 is found, do you see this having an impact on the industry? Will they perhaps face a problem of overcapacity?
If you look at the demand today, like I say just now, 180 to 240 days is the norm. Go to every glove manufacturer today, they will tell you, sorry, I'm oversold until next year. Now, what does it tell you? It will last for another 8 months minimum to at least a year and a half going forward. Now, this is particularly so simply because for the last 3 months and into the next 3 to 6 months, all the gloves being supplied are mainly concentrated into the healthcare sector. We have totally neglected the food handlers, the dermatologists, the dentists, even the tattooists, the housewives, and every other users that wants gloves. We have totally neglected them. We have rationed the gloves strictly for the healthcare sector. Now, when the lockdown is over, can you imagine what will happen when all these sectors, the other sectors, which actually constitute about 17 to 20% of the demand, comes forward to demand for gloves? This will push further the prolonged delivery period right up into maybe the end of 2021. So what we are seeing today is a phenomenal demand that is very difficult to meet and cope with because it is growing every day. And look at the second wave and even perhaps third wave that people are talking about. And look at the airlines industry today. They say the airlines can fly, but if you want to fly, you must wear a face mask, you must put on a pair of gloves, and to be changed every 3 hours. Imagine the kind of phenomenal demand again.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dennis. And that was Dennis Low, president of the Malaysia Rubber Gloves Manufacturers Association, giving us some insight into how glove makers are coping amidst this COVID-19 pandemic. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin. And up next, we're speaking with Maria Ferreira Sequeira, senior economist at ING Think Economic and Financial Analysis on how consumer behaviour is changing in Europe. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.